Cool. Hi, I'm DJ Shovet, and I'm here talking to Kitty Craft. I'm really excited talking to you today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm Pamela and Pamela Valfer, and I'm from Kitty Craft. I am Kitty Craft. Nice to be here with you.
Cool. This interview happened because you posted about how KZSC DJs were playing Kitty Craft's music, which is really exciting. It actually wasn't my show, it was a different KZSC DJ, but I do play your music on my show frequently. And I was wondering, how did you discover that we were playing your music and come upon that?
That's a good question. I work with someone on my social media, and I believe they are the ones that had found it. I can't remember if I might have been tagged in it. I think I was tagged, but I can't remember specifically. So, and also I just, I like to just stay in contact and see, who's up to what. And I'm super appreciative that you guys are interested in Kitty Craft. So thank you.
A few weeks ago on my show, I was playing kind of trip hop music, and I played one of your songs, and I got a text that was like, "Oh, you're playing Kitty Craft. These are deep cuts today." And then the first
Awesome.
event happened, so I was pretty excited about that. And I wanted to know just about your music writing process. How did you get into writing music?
I've been doing music since I was 15, and I'm also a visual artist, so it's always been these like, two different hands of my life, and sometimes I lean harder into the right than the left, and vice versa. And when I was 15, I wanted to play bass guitar, and so I got a bass guitar for my birthday, and that's where it all started off. And I'm actually really glad that I started with a bass guitar, because I feel like it's a fundamental under everything. And so, like, if you start with bass, then like learning guitar seems easier, and it just sort of scaffolded on top of each other. And I played in, bands here and there, in and around. And I started Kitty Craft when my other band broke up, which was named Saucer. And that was in, oh gosh, I'm gonna say 97. Don't quote me on that. But that's when I sort of decided that I just wanted to really focus on doing everything myself. And I had been doing collaborations, and so I had this four track in my bedroom, and that was sort of the birth of Kitty Craft. And I think the first release that I did was a Toy Town tape that was based or made on my four track. Like, you can hear me, I think I'm playing drums on phone books.
That's cute. So very DIY made it.
Very lo-fi, very lo-fi. Yeah. And then it just sort of snowballed from there, better equipment,
Yeah. Well, I wanted to know, and also you talked a little bit about your other kind of artistic developments. What are your more recent artistic projects, and how has your artistry developed throughout the years?
It's evolved, definitely. I've sort of spent time within each medium: sculpture, photography, drawing. Right now, I sort of dip my toe in all of the different approaches, materially. And I do more project-based work than like sitting in my studio and making drawings. I'll have like a larger project at hand. So, for instance, I have a project I'm working on, and this summer I'll be going to Berlin for a 2-month residency to work on this series of drawings that I had started, collaborating with an artist, Olu Ogwebi. And so I want to continue that project. So it's more like conceptual and project based. So I will use photography if I need to, or I will use drawing if I need to.
I also know that you did a program in Berlin in 2018. Is that a way that you like to develop your projects and kind of do them abroad or in collaboration with other artists or anything like that?
Well, since the work that I do these days is really project based, it does take a village. So therefore, I start with an overarching or an overriding idea that I'm interested in, and then I think of the best ways to approach that and express that. Like I said, I work through different mediums. I also work collaboratively, or I'm definitely energized, and I help realize the projects by working with other people. It's very community based in that way, that it's not necessarily a solo endeavor. as much as it is like finding people who are interested in the same things and coming together to sort of like reach this goal, or a loose goal sometimes, but sometimes it's very specific.
I know that you've done some collaborations. I was looking at your Instagram and I saw that you played with Apples in Stereo. And I know you have some songs. You have a song with Yoshinori Aoki and like a remix from Bonnie Kolak. So has that also, is that something you like to implement in your musical aspect as well? Kind of either in the creation of songs or in the way that they're shared with the world?
You know, I think each one of those is kind of a different animal, if you will. Like the one with Yoshinori, I actually played with Yoshinori when he was under the name Harko, when I played in Japan. We did some shows together and we really clicked. And then we kind of kept in touch, and he ended up coming to the States and we just started making music together, and it worked really nicely. And then ultimately his record people had heard some of the stuff we did and wanted to encourage us to collaborate more intentionally. And then we did this sort of side project called Octacube, which was me, Yoshinori Aoki, and Christopher Heidman from Suckpatch. And we did that for a little bit and played in Japan. That was super fun. But actually, if you listen on Lost Tapes, there's a song called Tonight. And that was one of the first songs that Yoshinori and I had collaborated on when he came to visit the States. And it was after that that they're like, hey, this is kind of good. Maybe we should dig in deeper. But yeah, that's what that song Tonight sort of spurred.
I was going to ask, you released an album in 2020, Lost Tapes, and one in 2022, Mew, from 1966 to 2004. Do you want to talk about the songs on those albums and why you decided to release them?
So I sort of, when I ducked out and really focused on my visual art, I had completed a whole album, the Lost Tapes album, and it was just kind of sitting there. And I personally felt like, you know, I was some of my best work, but I'm sure everybody feels that way about their latest and greatest. And it just kind of sat there and was never released. And I met a gentleman, Garrett Scullin, and we started working together, and he was just like, oh my gosh, this is so good, you should release it. And I was like, okay, you know, I wasn't really focused on any music at that point. And he's like, you know, people just need to hear this. This is really good. And so I have to give all credit to Garrett, that he was the wind beneath my wings to sort of re-engage with Kittycraft and put everything out digitally and sort of, you know, let the world know what I had done. So it was an album that I think I completed in, I want to say 2002, 2003, something like that. So it just never saw the light of day. That's how that came about. And then Mew, there's a record label who put out Mew, Disc Drive Records, located in Seattle. And they reached out to me. Gentleman Nick reached out to me from Disc Drive. And he was like, hey, I love your music. Would you be interested in doing like an anthology? And I was like, sure. And so, so that's how Mew came about. And that allowed me to do some stuff that I'd always like thought would be really cool. Like I've always wanted to do an infinite loop on a record. And so it's the first vinyl I got to put out. And that was really, really fun. And it also allowed me to sort of look over the whole oeuvre of my career, if you will, and just almost like make a mixtape, which I thought was really nice. Like I can kind of control how, you know, take you on a journey. So like, you know, theoretically, it's all, you know, what, bangers, no skips.
I was going to say, I'm really thankful that you released those because there are some really good gems on there. Yeah. And kind of seeing it as like the way that you view it as a mixtape is really interesting to see the artist's perspective of what they were thinking behind, you know, any certain release that as a listener, you are kind of blind to the, you know, the background process of.
Right, right. And it was interesting to me because I always had this, I guess, thought in my head, and I don't think it was really correct, that, you know, each, like the Kittycraft that was really guitar centric, then the Kittycraft that was really like loop centric, I always had this like disjunctive vibe with it. Like it just never felt like oh, those two eras don't go together. But now that I'm sort of stepped back from it and a few years have passed, I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, it makes more sense than I thought it did. And so I never thought that I would connect, you know, my pure guitar music to the later stuff. So that's been interesting for me to see it in a wider perspective.
I'm sure it's also interesting based on your more, non-music based artistic developments to kind of go back to that music side and put together something from that era of your artistry. And I was wondering, I know that you're a professor at Chaffey College. Do your students know that you make music, or do you feel like that's a relevant part of your current maybe professional endeavors?
You know, not th I think some of them have figured it out. I don't like sort of present it on the first day. As students do, they'll Google stalk some of their professors. So a few people have figured it out, but I don't generally like, introduce it to the students. Every once in a while I'll get questions, but not terribly. No.
I had mentioned that I was doing this interview with a bunch of KZSC DJs who I consider to have a really good music taste, and they were all super excited, just like I was. So I wanted to know, how does it feel to know that your music from the 90s and early 2000s still such has such a big impact on really niche music communities like college radio?
I'm gobsmacked. I'm surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm honored. I feel incredibly just humbled. I really, it's still kind of a mystery to me, but I'm just really honored. I'm really honored, and every person, who connects with my music, I feel blessed. I feel really blessed. And it just also, in my mind, I'm like, I was always ahead of my time. Clarifies that it was.
Totally. I mean, you're so similar to so many other artists that people are so drawn to, like Apples in Stereo, Chiba Amato, like a bunch of artists like that. And I'm sure that the other musical groups you've been part of have also been part of those similar projects. And I think that once you start discovering music and you feel like this is kind of your area of music that you like, once I fell upon Kitty Craft, I felt like I was honored to like discover it. I was like, this is just so good.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. I mean, I think it's just, everything comes full circle, and there seems to be this a lot of attention on music from the 90s and the 2000 aughts, the 20 aughts that are being rediscovered, which is exciting. Yeah, it's been a trip. It's been a total trip, and it's been a lovely ride, and I appreciate everybody who has sought it out and listens to it and enjoys it, finds meaning in it.
I'm sure I'll pass it on. This will be on the KZSC blog. They can all kind of listen back.
Awesome. Thank you.
I also had a question just because, I listen to Kitty Craft, among other things, about the type of music you listen to. I saw that you have an artist playlist on Spotify, and I really loved your taste. Lots of Joni Mitchell, which I also love. And I wanted to ask if you wanted to talk a little bit about the music you listen to and either how it relates to or differs from music you create.
I mean, I think we're all just a product of our raising, of what we've come to. And I think that through the years, I've had a lot of different music. I have to say, honestly, within, the last couple of years of my life, I haven't been super focused on like finding new music, and like, I just kind of like, I really love very mellow music. Yeah, like I'm really into jazz right now, and Pharoah Sanders, and just a whole bunch of like experimental but down tempo jazz is really my jam at the moment.
Ethiopian Peaks with like Mulatu
Oh my gosh, yes. Like, hello. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Yeah, so I'm less like fangirl following a band, which, I can't say is good or bad, but I'm just more of like setting a space for myself to like do things.
Yeah, kind of have it in the background.
Right.
Well, I was also wondering, in terms of live music, if you are playing any shows or if you plan to kind of bring that back or with that aspect of music creation.
Right. Well, Interestingly enough, I'm working on something where I am figuring out, I'm deconstructing the songs and I'm translating them onto acoustic guitar. And I would like to play some shows when I got my stuff together a little bit more, but that's what I've been working on, and that's been really fun. That has been really, really fun.
If you're in Santa Cruz, I'm unfortunately graduating in spring. But I'm from
Unfortunately, that's congratulations.
Thank you. I fortunately in this way, but unfortunately if you're coming to Santa Cruz, but if I'm also from LA, so if you're ever playing shows, I'll keep an eye out for that because I feel like that'll be really exciting to kind of hear
Yeah.
your take on, some classics that you've created.
It's been really fun, and it's funny because before sort of this whole thing has started gaining energy, I always was like, gosh, if I ever did music again, I just want to do like acoustic guitar, real stripped down. Like I was, thinking like what's that song? I don't that song on the soundtrack, Donnie Darko, where they did a Tears for Fears cover. I'm like, oh my God, that was just this real stripped down, but real like raw. So it's been really fun to explore and go back to my guitar playing in a way and sort of shake off the dust. And
Yeah.
seeing how a new life can kind of be breathed into these songs. So it's sort of a different corner of them. It's like more folk driven, but like 70s campfire songs.
I love that. I definitely not necessarily the vibe I expected from a new Kitty Craft resurgence, but I love folk music and I love Kitty Craft and they're kind of different sides of the same coin in a way. So that sounds really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite sure how this is going to come together, if there will be, the beats will be there. Like I'm still sort of putting it together of how stripped down it'll be. There still might, it's still a big question mark. So it might be somewhere in between is my guess.
I think that's the fun thing about creating art in general is that you can just take any autonomy and create a project that's so unique. And as you're creating it, if you want to go in a different direction, just make it happen before you want to share it to the world, if that's the ultimate goal. So it's cool to kind of hear about the creation process and just figuring it out as you go and seeing where it'll take you.
Exactly. So that's been a fun ride so far.
I have another question that just kind of came to me that in reading your artist statement and looking at, past projects you've done, this is more of like a personal interest of mine, but I'm really interested in the themes behind the art you create and things about like capitalism and the way that that relates to the art you create.
In terms of its relationship to my music, I'm not quite sure what that bridge is yet. I can't not think, that's a double negative, but I can't not think that there is some connection there. But my work has become, very politically oriented. And that's sort of what got me from the material-based working, like drawing or painting, into a more project-based, they call it like post-studio practice. I was very interested in mediated space, and I was reading Theodor Adorno, and I was reading, Baudrillard, and I was reading a lot of critical thinkers on media space and culture industry and kind of like Marxist ideas of culture and how it's there's this illusion of autonomy. And so I like to interrogate this sort of blind notion of autonomy, and how much autonomy do we have, and how much is being sort of like handled behind the scenes. And so I've done, a lot of weird stuff. So I originally was from Minnesota, and that's where the early Kitty Craft came from. And so when I moved to LA, I was like, well, gosh, I'm in the simulation. I'm in like the total, Hollywood like illusion. And it there's a lot of interest that I was exploring in my drawings, but it always felt very illustrative, right? Like it felt like I couldn't really affect a conversation or affect any sort of change other than representation. And so I wanted to start actively using LA as like a material. And so when I moved here, I did a performance where I got on the Wheel of Fortune.
You were on Wheel of Fortune.
I was on Wheel of Fortune. And I sort of set up this environment where either it was going to be like something that could happen while it was on the show, or it was going to be like a post-edit video. And so like I got a green screen tattooed on myself, and I wasn't sure if they used green screen behind the contestants. I don't know if you've seen Wheel of Fortune, but it's like really Americana, and they'll have like, palm trees and like classical Americana behind. So my hope was that if it worked live, that when I spun the wheel, it would show through my arm.
You got a tattoo.
Yeah.
I mean, for all the radio listeners, this interview is on Zoom, so I can verify that there is a green mark tattooed on your arm. That's awesome. Did it work?
So it worked post edit. They don't use green screens live, but it did work as a green screen post edit. So it did work, and I accidentally won $11,000, and
Accident.
so I wasn't expecting that, and so I used that money to fund the political work that I was doing in Germany. And I just love the fact that Pat Sajak has funded subversive political art in international.
Yeah, that's really unexpected. In all honesty, I ended up staying on the Zoom and talking to Pamela, aka Kitty Craft, for about another hour just about things like capitalism and her art in Germany. But because they didn't relate that directly to Kitty Craft's music itself, I kind of cut it out. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and thank you so much to Kitty Craft for talking to me on KZSE Santa Cruz today.
This is Kitty Craft, and you're listening to KCSC.